Well, thank you, everybody, for your fellowship again tonight in the Acts 28 room. We've just read Joshua chapter 6, the opening verses of that chapter about the downfall of Jericho, seven priests, seven ram's horns, and the Ark of the Covenant, which was called the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. And we're going to look this evening at the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. We're going to see if there are any connecting scriptures and any way whatsoever where the word of God associates these seven trumpets with the earth. So before we begin, we need to acknowledge that the book of Revelation is indeed a difficult book, and we need to treat it with great care. But we do notice the opening verse that it is about a revelation or the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to declare to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified it or signed it by sending his angel to his servant John. Notice that the angel was a sign, and Israel, of course, need a sign. Now, this is an amazing prophecy. And what I wanted to do this evening is point out that there is an opening and a conclusion, a balancing opening to this great prophecy and a conclusion with similar themes and words bringing the prophecy to a close. Now, the opening, if you will, are chapters 1 to 3 of the book of Revelation. And in the chapters 1 to 3, you'll find, behold, he comes. And of course it includes clouds, doesn't it? And you'll find that in Revelation 1, verse 7. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Now, I can't give reference to all of these features of the opening and closing of the book of Revelation, but there's just one right there. We notice that in this reference, we have Christ featured as the Son of Man. We have seven stars in his hand. And of course, in these opening chapters, we have the New Jerusalem. We have paradise. We have overcomers. And we have the second death. And we have tribulation. Those are some of the main words of these opening three chapters. We have Son of Man, we have seven stars, we have the New Jerusalem, we have the New Jerusalem, and we have paradise, and of course we have overcomers, and what else did I say? The second death. No, we can't get sidetracked in some of these wonderful subjects. Of course, it would raise a lot of questions. And we have tribulation. Remember, tribulation called the day of Jacob's trouble. Now, the conclusion of the prophecy takes place in chapters 21 to 22. And you'll find we have some recurring themes. Of course, certainly we have the New Jerusalem. That's featured in the conclusion. We have paradise. We have the overcomers. Isn't it interesting how the word of God is so wonderfully woven together? We have in the conclusion, we have, behold, behold, I come quickly, things that shortly will come to pass. Remember, the book of Revelation, I believe, was in circulation during the Acts period. Certainly, however, it is a prophecy of things that would have come to pass back then, but nevertheless is still important because now the events of the book of Revelation are future, aren't they? But remember, these things of Revelation could have taken place in the Acts period. And indeed, the stage was set way back then, 2,000 years ago, for these things to come about. Back in that conclusion section, we have the bright and Morning Star. Star, we have the brighter Morning Star. We have the Tree of Life. That's in the concluding section. And of course, we have an angel testifying. Can you see how the opening and the conclusion of this epistle have balancing themes and words in them, testifying again to the glory of inspiration? Now, what is really interesting is that between the opening and the close of the book of Revelation, and this is not a study of it, we have seven in heaven and on earth features. We have passages of scripture, and they alternate. There's a section which is in heaven and on earth, and then another section in heaven and on earth, and another section in heaven and on earth, and so it goes, seven of them, running all the way from from Revelation chapter 4 all the way to Genesis chapter 20 verse 15. So this is the central, the great inner portion of the subject matter of the book of Revelation, if you will. And I don't need to go through all of those sections, but certainly, if you can remember that, it would be helpful in your studies of this great prophecy. But I would like to just go through them with you for the purpose of the audio, and you might have a pencil handy and you can jot them down. Chapter 4 to chapter 7 verse 8, we have an in heaven section which deals with the throne and the book and the Lamb and some other features, and then on the earth, six seals and 144,000 sealed out of the tribes of Israel. That's the first of the seven, of the in heaven and on earth recurring themes. In chapter 7, verse 9 to chapter 11, verse 14, we have in heaven a great multitude and the seventh seal, and on the earth we have six trumpets. The third of these alternating in heaven and on earth sections starts in chapter 11, verse 15, and goes to chapter 11, verse 19. In heaven we have the seventh trumpet, and on the earth we have an earthquake. The fourth of these alternating in heaven and on earth sections starts from chapter 12, verse 1, and goes to chapter 13, verse 18. In heaven we have a woman, a man-child, and a dragon. On earth we have a dragon, a beast, which is that great fourth kingdom of Daniel's prophecy, and a false prophet. The fifth section of in heaven and on earth is chapter 14, verse 1 to chapter 20, to verse 20 rather. And in heaven we have the Lamb again and 144,000, and on earth we have six angels. The sixth section of in heaven and on earth is from chapter 15 to chapter 18, verse 24. And in heaven we have seven angels with vials, and on earth we have the seven vials being poured out. The final alternation of in heaven and on earth occurs in chapter 19, verse 1 to chapter 20, verse 15, where in heaven we have a marriage of the Lamb, and on earth we have the millennial reign. Now that's just an overview of this huge prophecy. It has an opening section, chapters 1 to 3, with Behold, He Comes and an angel testifying and some other features. A conclusion in chapter 21 to 22, where there's the new heavens, the new earth, and Behold, I come quickly, and an angel testifying. And in the center of the book of Revelation, from chapter 4 to chapter 20, verse 15, we have seven alternating features of in heaven and on earth. Now we're going to look tonight at the seven trumpets that are featured in this book. Seven trumpets. And what happens at each one? I'm only going to be brief because I have mentioned the trumpets of the book of Revelation so much in the past that I just wanted to visit them tonight so that you were familiar with them. And so that when we refer to them again, or we speak of the last trumpet in 1 Corinthians and the trumpet of Thessalonians, we will be able to associate the trumpets and the unfolding of the truths associated with them and the events that they portend in the book of Revelation. So we're going to come to Revelation chapter 8. And when the seventh seal was open, there was silence in heaven for the space of about half an hour. So there was silence. The next verse, John saw seven angels who stood before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So here we go, seven angels with seven trumpets. Now, as you know, there's a lot of seven things in the book of Revelation. Seven seals, seven vials, seven angels, seven trumpets, seven churches, and so forth and so on. So seven's a great feature here in this prophecy. So we have seven angels, yes, seven trumpets. Now, this verse 6, I'm going to miss a few verses here. Just want to show you an interesting feature. And the seven angels of Revelation 8:6, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Now the word trumpet and sound are of the same family. And I might put it like this. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to trumpet. Or sound. If you're interested in the Greek of the original language, you might like to look that up. Now in verse 7, we have the first angel trumpeting. So if I can remember, I'm going to put trumpet or trumpeting for the word sounded. The first angel trumpeted, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast on the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So we have fire mingled and hail mingled with blood. Now surely this reminds us of Israel's typical salvation. Can you remember? Well, in Exodus chapter 9, in verse 23 and 24, we have a similar exhibition of God's power and wrath. Exodus 9:23, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heavens, and Jehovah sent thunder and hail, and the fire came down to the ground, and Jehovah rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous. Verse 24 of Exodus 9, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. It sort of reminds you of the great day of Jacob's trouble, a day of great tribulation on the nation, such as never been experienced. So there we have the first angel sounding and the consequences of, or the events associated with, that first trumpet. Remember tonight, this is not an extensive examination of the book of Revelation or of these seven angels and seven trumpets, just a viewing of their mention in the book of Revelation and the events associated with them. So let's come back to Revelation chapter 8 and come to the second angel, which is in verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire. Our God is a consuming fire, isn't he? And a great mountain, mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. So you have a third of the trees, do you see? You have in this verse 9, a third part of the creatures in the sea, those having souls died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Destruction in thirds. But of course you do remember in Genesis you have the creation of trees and the living souls in the waters, remember? A wonderful parallel, isn't there, between the book of Genesis and the final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. So we have blood, and I'm sure you will remember the great judgment of God on Egypt in Exodus chapter 7, 19 and 21. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their canals, and upon their pools, and upon every reservoir of their waters, that they may become blood, and blood shall be throughout all the land of Egypt, both in wooden and stone vessels." And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? Read the rest of those verses, Exodus 7, 19 to 21. It's really significant, I believe, that we have such a very close harmony of events between the opening of the Word of God and the conclusion of the Word of God. And now we come to the third angel who trumpeted. The third of the seven trumpets. And it's found in Revelation 8, verse 10. And the third angel trumpeted, and a great star burning like a lamp fell from the heaven, and it fell on the third part of the rivers and on the fountains of waters. Verse 11, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. I think there was a lot of excitement, wasn't there, when that Russian nuclear power station collapsed. It was called Chernobyl, wasn't it, which means wormwood in Russian. And a lot of latter-day forecasters thought that this was the third trumpet of the book of Revelation. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. And of course you know the bitter waters in Israel's Exodus, don't you, at Marah, where 12 trees were cast in and the waters made sweet. Very, very interesting. You might also like to look up Jeremiah 9:15 and 23:15, where wormwood is featured in that prophet against the nation of Israel. So there is the third angel and the third trumpet. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, we have the fourth angel and the fourth trumpet sound. Here we have Revelation 8:12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was stricken, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day did not appear for a third part of it, and the night also. Now, friends, it's very important to notice the sun, the moon, and the stars. Of course, these are part of the creation of the heavens and the earth, as found, are they not, in Genesis 1 and 2. But as the scriptures unfolds, we note that they begin to be associated with the children of Israel. We remember our Sunday school lessons and our Bible stories about Joseph, do we not? And in Joseph 37, we have him sharing with his brothers. And he told his brothers, he said, "Look, I dreamed a dream." And the dream that he dreamed was about the sun, the moon, and the stars, bowing down to him, along with the sheaves in the field, remember. So we have this association of the sun and the moon and the stars, and Joseph, who was a type of Christ, one who was rejected by his brethren, and of course sold into Egypt for pieces of silver. You'll also find the sun and the moon and the stars associated with Israel in the prophet Jeremiah, particularly in chapter 31. And I would like to read or remind us all of some verses there, 35 and 36, when the Lord has spoken about a new covenant that he's going to cut with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Speaking as a confirmation regarding that new covenant, he says, "So says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the laws of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when its waves roar. Jehovah of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever or unto the age." So I think we're beginning to see, are we not, that the trumpets that we're reading about in the book of Revelation are associated with events in Israel's past, are associated with things that are tied to Israel. And as we read in Joshua chapter 6, which was an anticipation of the Feast of Trumpets, as you know, there's Passover in Israel's festive calendar. It's the first feast. There's unleavened bread. That's the second one. There's the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. That's the first group, the spring group. And the first feast of summer is the Feast of Trumpets. So we have trumpets thus far associated with the great nation of Israel, both directly and also indirectly through these events that are associated with the trumpets in the book of Revelation. Now this is important, isn't it? Because when we come to the Acts period and we read in Paul's epistles written during that time, when we see trumpets now, we are more inclined to think of Israel and the overcomers and the remnant group than the church which is his body, are we not? Now, in the matter of the sun and the moon and the stars, you might also like to go to Joel chapter 2, which is also about the day of the Lord, isn't it? Joel chapter 2, verse 10. There's a verse about the sun and the moon and the stars gathering in their light, which of course is associated with the fourth angel and the fourth trumpet blast. Isaiah 13, verse 10. You have prophecy about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they're in prophecies about Israel, aren't they? So the sun, the moon, and the stars from Genesis are, as Scripture unfolds, associated with Israel and the fourth trumpet of the book of Revelation, which is about the Lord Jesus coming in the clouds with his angels to be King of kings and Lord of lords of all the earth, right? Isn't the Bible a wonderful and consistently wonderful book? Now, what do we read also in Matthew 24? This is very interesting, isn't it? It's a passage about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Verse 29. "And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Darkness from these elements, which in creation were for signs and were for governing of the day and the night. Isn't it wonderful to see this same association of the fourth trumpet with these things? We might like to think that the fourth trumpet then takes place after the tribulation. However, we need to be careful. There are a number of darkenings of the sun, the moon, and the stars, so that's just for you to pursue. Now, that's the fourth angel and the fourth trumpet of the book of Revelation, and we're going to go and just notice in Revelation 8:13 that there's a statement made in verse 13 after the blowing of the fourth trumpet. And I saw and I heard one angel flying in mid-heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. How many woes is that? Well, that would be three, wouldn't it? Three woes to the inhabitants of the earth from the rest of the voices of the trumpet of the three angels being about to sound. So we have four angels who have blown the trumpet. We have an angel in the mid-heaven saying three woes, and there are, of course, three trumpet blasts yet to take place. And the three of them are associated with woes. Well, I would have thought it was woeful enough, no pun intended, on the first of the first four trumpets, wouldn't have you? So let's have a look now at the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 1-11, we have an angel coming down from heaven, and this angel was given keys to the abyss, or the bottomless pit, which in the Greek version of the Old Testament is the word translated deep, when darkness was upon the face of the deep, or the abyss. Lots of harmonies, aren't there, between Genesis and Revelation. And of course there was a furnace at this. The bottomless pit was opened, and there arose a smoke out of this abyss, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. More darkening of the elements. This is the fifth angel's trumpet blast, Revelation 9:1. Oh dear. And I don't want to go through all of the rest of this opening of chapter 9, but let me tell you, it's not pretty. However figurative these monsters might be that come up out of the abyss, these locusts, it's really not a pleasant sight. They were commanded not to hurt the grass, remember? That was in one of the earlier trumpet blasts. Okay, that was in the first trumpet. They weren't to hurt the grass. The fifth, elements and the locusts that were released at the fifth trumpet, but only those men who did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Tormented 5 months in verse 5 of Revelation 9. Oh yes, indeed. The angel flying in mid-heavens was right. This is a woe, is it not? Read the rest of chapter 9 to have a look at the description of these beings or beasts that were released from the abyss. In chapter 9, verse 13, we have the sixth angel blowing the sixth trumpet. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God. Now, remember in Hebrews 8 and verse 5, this is a reference to Exodus 25 verse 40. But here is an account of God reminding Moses, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you in the mountain. Moses, when he gave the instructions to the builders regarding the tabernacle and all the vessels and the altars and the table of showbread and the lampstand and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, these were patterns of things that were in heaven. And the sixth angel blows the trumpet, and there's a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God in heaven. Now, you'll find that this golden altar wasn't the brass altar which was outside the holy place on which the offerings were offered. This is the golden altar of incense which stood before the veil in the holy place. And it was at this altar that the incense was burnt, and of course it was at this altar where the father of John the Baptist saw the vision, remember? Exodus 37, verse 25, speaks about this altar's construction, and I'll just give you that verse. The altar of incense, made of acacia wood, its length was a cubit. Remember, these things couldn't be too huge. They had to be carried, didn't they, in the wilderness wanderings? And its breadth a cubit square, and its height was 2 cubits. Its horns were of the same. There's the horns on the altar that Moses supervised this construction thereof in the wilderness. And at the blast of the sixth angel's trumpet, a voice is spoken from the altar in heaven, of which the one on earth was a copy or replica, if you will. Do you see, friends, how these angels are, and their trumpets are associated with the earth and with Israel? I hope you're seeing this. Remember, this is just a simple little lesson looking at these trumpets, but emphasizing how these trumpets associate with the nation of Israel and God's purposes for the earth. Indeed, all these 7 trumpets in the book of Revelation prefigured in that passage we read at the beginning, Joshua chapter 6. Now then, we're going to come to the 7th angel found in Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Here we have a mighty angel coming down out of the heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. A rainbow in Revelation, of course, associated with the rainbow in Genesis, where God had made a promise about springtime, seasons, harvest, and crops, remember? Another harmony between the book of Revelation and the book of Genesis. Now in verse 4, there were 7 thunders. How many? I forgot 7 thunders when we were reviewing the things of 7 in the book of Revelation. 7 thunders spoke their sounds. And John was about to write, and do not write those things, he was told. Now, in verse 6, we have an interesting, "And the angel whom I saw standing on the seas and on the earth lifted his hand to the heaven." Revelation 10, verse 5, I should have said. "And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it." I think this is certainly identifying the 7 trumpets of Revelation with that original Genesis creation. "That there should no longer be time." That there should no longer be time. Verse 7. "But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he will begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets." Now, the mystery of God here was declared to his servants the prophets. And we pass on that subject because it would take us too wide a field, wouldn't it? This is the last trumpet, the 7th angel. Time will be no more. and the mystery of God should be finished. Now then, in chapter 11 of Revelation, we have the blowing of the last trumpet. And let's go to chapter 11. Now it's taken all the way from chapter 8, hasn't it, to get from the first to the last trumpet. And we read about it in verse 15. And this is why time will be no more. Prophecy is coming to a glorious fruition at the last trumpet, isn't it? Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign for ever and ever." Now notice the last trumpet and voices in heaven. I'm sure you remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a trumpet, a voice, a shout. We remember Exodus 19, the Lord descending out of heaven with trumpets, with a voice. All those identifying things that we see here in this, the last trumpet, can be found in Israel's typical salvation, their history. So if this trumpet is identified with Israel, and we read about this trumpet and Israel's temple in Thessalonians chapter 2 particularly, then I think we can safely conclude that the trumpet of Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is this last trumpet here of the seven as recorded in the book of Revelation. Let's have a look a bit more at the results or the events that take place at this last trumpet. Revelation 11 verse 16. And the 24 elders sitting before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We thank you, O Lord God Almighty, who are and who was and who is coming, because you took your great power and reigned." The last trumpet is the Lord God Almighty taking his great power and reigning. And the verse 18, "And the nations were full of wrath, and your wrath came." Oh yes, the nations had built up their wrath against the children of Israel, and now his wrath is coming, the kinsman redeemer, the one who restores the inheritance and is the avenger of blood. As Moses said, the Lord will be vengeful for his land and his people. The nation's full of wrath. Do you see? This is not about the church, which is his body, is it? It's about the nations and their wrath against Israel and the Lord's wrath against them. But look at the rest of verse 18. And the time of the judging of the dead. Well now, my friends, doesn't the Apostle Paul speak in 1 Corinthians, in Thessalonians, about the resurrection of the dead at the last trumpet? And isn't it wonderfully consistent that here in the last trumpet in Revelation, there's a resurrection of the dead to be judged and to give reward to the Lord's servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to the ones fearing your name, to the small and to the great, and to destroy those destroying the earth? The last trumpet. Isn't this amazing? Now, by the way, I always had trouble as a younger Christian when I saw the word saint. And I thought, well, that's got to be me. I'm a saint. But you see, you as well as me, we're a bit wiser now, aren't we? And we know that there are many, many believers, millions of them that belong to the nation of Israel and the overcoming group, who are in fact saints, aren't they? They're faithful saints, and they're going to be resurrected, and they will be judged for their works. The last trumpet. Oh dear. Do you know something, friends? I'm going to finish my lesson tonight by reminding us, each and every one, of Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 6, the priests bore the Ark of the Covenant, didn't they? 6 days, the seventh day, seven circulations, seven trumpet blasts, and a shout. Remember? So you had the Ark of the Covenant, correct, in Joshua chapter 6? And what do we see associated with the last trumpet in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11, verse 9? And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of his Covenant. And there occurred lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and a great hail. Do you see all these Jewish things associated with these seven trumpets, my friends, tonight? Can you see them? Now, if these trumpets here are associated with the nation of Israel, we have every right to claim that these trumpets were anticipated in Joshua, that this event of this, the Lord's coming, was anticipated in Exodus 19 when he descended out of heaven in clouds with angels and in power and majesty at the sound of a trumpet and a voice was heard. And these are the same things that the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to just finish tonight, I think I'll finish tonight, with this chapter 2 of Thessalonians. We've seen the last trumpet and the temple of God being opened in heaven, haven't we? The Ark of the Covenant being seen. Lightnings and voices, there they are again. Thunders and earthquake, Exodus 19. Let's finish tonight by reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The second letter to the Thessalonians, written because Paul was concerned that they had been shaken by a letter or a word supposedly coming from him. And he says, "Now we beseech you, my brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." Verse 2, "that you should not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word or letter, as through us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come unless there comes a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He," this one, verse 4 goes on to say, "opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits where?" Where does he sit, friends? He sits as God in the temple of God on the earth, setting himself forth that he is God. Now that's to take place. So we have this abomination of desolation in the temple on the earth at the last trumpet. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have the Lord coming, King of kings and Lord of lords, and the temple in heaven being opened, exposing the true Christ, the true Messiah, and showing to Israel the false Messiah, the one who exalts himself in the spirit of Satan, empowered thereby, setting his throne above the stars. Isn't it a glorious harmony? Isn't it a wonderful association of the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the last trumpet in Revelation chapter 11? You know, my dear friends, I want to thank you tonight for listening, as you always do so patiently. Thank you for your kindness to me. Thank you for your enthusiasm for the word of truth. And I'm praying that this little survey will inspire you, will say, wow, look at how logical the Word of God is. Look at how wonderfully it fits together. And you can rejoice both in the things that belong to the earthly purpose, and all those trumpets and the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and how they differ to the wonderful purposes revealed to you and I after Israel was put aside at Acts 28. Israel was put aside at Acts 28, and all these events of the book of Revelation were postponed, weren't they? And the events of the great commonly called rapture of 1 Thessalonians 4 was postponed, wasn't it? And Paul revealed to us, praise God, a purpose that doesn't have to do with the temple on the earth and the temple in heaven, but where Christ is seated far above all heavens at God's right hand. And there, friends, you and I have been raised and seated. And we are going to be manifested with Him in that sphere, which is a manifestation not associated with the earth and Israel's temple. What a wonderful thing it is to rejoice in these differences and to know and understand them by the grace of God and the wonderful principle of right division that we have been taught by faithful men and women. And we bless our Heavenly Father for the word of truth, and may He continue to open it up to us as we search and see if these things are so. We thank You, Father, for tonight and our fellowship. We thank You, Father, tonight for the word. We thank You for the word rightly divided, and we bless and praise You for the joy of the scriptures, their harmony and their consistency. May this little lesson, Father, have been a blessing to the listener, and may it indeed, Father, be an encouragement and a motivation for us, each and every one, continue to search and see. We thus bless You and praise You through Christ our Lord, who will indeed be King of kings and Lord of lords when He takes His great power and reigns at that last trumpet. And we bless You, Father, for in Him all fullness dwells, and worthy is Your Son. To Him and through Him are all things. Amen.